Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Chris Loughery in for Laurie Walsh today. Tonight at 7 Central, 6 Mountain on SDPB-TV, it's On Call with the Prairie Doc. Bugs Around Us That Bug Us is the title of tonight's show. Dr. Richard Holm is the Prairie Doc, and he's with us to discuss ticks. Dr. Holm, welcome back to In the Moment.
Thank you, Chris. Pleasure to be included here. Thank you.
We appreciate your time today. Before we even talk about ticks, I'm sure people are going to get the creepy crawlies, but I think we can reassure them that the ticks aren't a problem right now, correct?
Right. Well, my wife said, why are you doing this show right now? We should be doing it in the spring. But, you know, it was one of those deals. We were talking about bed bugs, and I was scheduling things, and it got scheduled. It's good to talk about it now, because when the time comes, it's often too late. You know, what do I do with this now? So let's be prepared, and let's talk about ticks. They are one of the meanest bugs that we have. They are not an insect. They're like a spider. They have different anatomies. And so, put it this way, spiders and ticks are related. They're mean, aggressive hunters. They kill and eat, and humans, they'll attach on and suck the blood and inject poisons and infections from other sources, and they can be a terrible scourge to us because of the things that they carry.
Now, Dr. Holm, I had no idea that there are 17 species of ticks in South Dakota, with the most common being the American dog tick.
Right, and most people think of that as the wood tick. They call it the wood tick, but it's not the wood tick. It's the American dog tick. And it is the major illness that it can carry is the Rocky Mountain spotted fever. But it can also carry tularemia and a variety of other illnesses, ehrlichiosis, although ehrlichiosis is usually carried by another tick that is a southern dog tick. So there you have that.
So you mentioned it. So since the American dog tick, or the wood tick, if you will, is the most common here in South Dakota, and you said it's the chief carrier of the Rocky Mountain spotted fever. What is Rocky Mountain spotted fever? And it's a twofold question. What are the symptoms?
I had a case when I was an intern at Grady Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia. And this gentleman who had some kind of childhood mental impairment. So he was really living with his sister. He's like a 35, 40-year-old man, not mentally on the top of it, but, you know, a good guy, and loved to walk in the woods with his dog. And he came in with a fever of about 102, and at the time he didn't have any real rashes, just sort of, you know, red from hot. And but he had the worst headache he's ever had, and everything ached. What you treat that, if you think it could be Rocky Mountain spotted fever, you want to treat it. You know, you want to immediately treat it. And it's tetracycline or doxycycline that is the treatment of choice, which is, by the way, the treatment of choice for a lot of tick-borne illnesses that are carried, in fact, by this particular dog tick that we have here. And so anyway, I started him. In fact, I put him in the hospital, drew blood cultures, drew a titer for Rocky Mountain spotted fever, which takes 5 or 6 days, and the guy would be dead from it had we, you know, I mean, it has a 33% chance of killing you from it if we'd waited. You don't wait for the diagnosis. You start the treatment. And His titers came back positive for Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and he was well by the time we knew that he had had it. And he had started having a rash the day as we admitted him. So the rash, and there's two kinds of rashes that come with it. There's this kind of a very fleeting, mild, just a kind of a viral-looking rash that's everywhere. It's kind of spread more on the hands and the feet. But then later, as it becomes dangerous to you, you start getting a vasculitis, where you're bleeding into your skin. And so your sign of Rocky Mountain spotted fever, when you got that, you're in trouble. There had been a case in Madison, South Dakota, when I was a end of my sophomore year of med school. They sent you out to all of the little towns of South Dakota as your med school class spreads out among the state population. And I was with Dr. Joseph Mugley from Madison, Wisconsin, or South Dakota. And but he was telling me the story of a case that they'd had in the emergency room. A little girl came in with vasculitis rash, and they treated her with everything exactly right, and she died. And then a day later, or 2 days later, her sister comes in with the same illness. I think they saved one of them.
So then,
it's a devastating illness, and you can't mess with it.
Rocky Mountain spotted fever then is potentially life-threatening.
Right. So what do you do when you get a tick bite?
Right. What do you do?
In fact, you have a tick. The first thing you need to do is get rid of it. You know, get the tick off of you. And there's been a lot of debate about how to do that. I mean, everybody will talk about cigarettes, putting a cigarette on it, or burning it, or putting alcohol on it, or Vaseline on it. And really, the study that was in the Journal of the American Medical Association, where they were taking ticks off of sheep, the easiest way to do it is you take a tweezer and you attach the tweezer to where the tick attaches to the skin. You don't want to squeeze the tick, or it'll inject whatever it has into the body of the whatever it's attached to. So you want to attach your tweezer right at the level of where the tick attaches to the skin, and then you don't jerk it off. You gently pull with a mild pressure until the tick said, all right, I'll have it, I'll let go. And it lets go. And then you can bring it out.
And then you want
to be careful not to mess with the tick after that.
And I did read, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, I read that it's important to not puncture or crush the tick. Now, what's the purpose behind that, or the reason behind that, rather?
Well, I mean, if the tick is attached and you puncture it, or you it'll inject, you know, and or if you squeeze it, it'll inject into the skin of the person who it's attached to. So you really want to. So once you've got the tick out, you know, I suggest that you wrap it with tissue paper and stomp on it, and then you flush it. You know, I mean, get rid of it. It's what you want to kill it. You want to get rid of it.
Simply flushing the tick down the toilet doesn't necessarily kill it, though, correct?
No, I mean, you stomp on it,
right,
explode it, and kill it. You know, you want to kill it. You could drop it in the fire if you wanted to.
Right.
Now, you get rid of it. It's a bad thing.
I've seen these ticks in their, well, how do I say this, youthful form. So they're not like I've seen them on dogs where they've succeeded what they wanted to do. Now, I've never seen that on a human, but I'm sure maybe you have.
Oh, I have. Oh. You know, what happens is the tick will usually attach as you brush by the weed it's living on, wanting to catch a rodent or a deer or an animal of some kind, the dog. And once you brush by it, it'll attach. One of the things I read in my preparing for this is that they stated they never drop from trees. Mm. And my entomologist tells me that's not true. Mm. And I don't think it's true either. I've seen people walking under trees. They'll fall from trees. But mostly you can say they don't drop on you. They, when you brush by it, is how they attach. And let's say that they're attached to the grass. They say there's one tick per square yard of grass when you're walking through, you know, the yards of South Dakota. And you walk through the grass, they'll attach to your shoes or to your socks. So if you're attached to your socks, now what are they going to do? They're going to crawl upward. They always crawl upward. Mm-hmm. And they'll crawl up your leg until they find a nice, warm, dark, moist spot, you know, in your groin or your anus area. I can't tell you how many people where they come in for their yearly rectal exam in the summer. You know, they're there and they bend over and there is a tick hanging on one cheek or the other. You know what I mean? It's unbeknownst to them. You know, they don't know it. You know, you find ticks on people's underarms, in their hair. They keep crawling upwards. So that's why people suggest that if you're going hiking in the woods in the summer, that you stick your pants into your socks. Hmm. And then you can spray your typical mosquito repellent, which will work, although not as well as the tick repellent, but pretty good. Well, pretty well. And you spray your pants and your legs.
And you mentioned talking about falling from trees, and I did read that you can prevent ticks by wearing a wide-brimmed hat, and I envision these ticks standing on trees, or sitting, whatever they do, on trees, and just waiting for somebody to come by and just jumping off, saying, I got you now. So I would probably think that they would, you know, accidentally fall on people, too, in wooded areas.
So the standard word is they don't fall from trees. I don't believe that one. But that's the standard word. And, you know, I think that no matter how well you do it, and, of course, most of us wear shorts in the summer. I mean, that's how it is. When you're done with the day, you know, you bring all your kids in and everybody in, and everybody does a you do tick checks, and, you make sure that no one has a tick hidden somewhere. The problem is that dangerous to us in spreading of diseases as adults are the nymphs, you know, the little tiny sesame seed sized ticks. They're just as dangerous, and they need to be removed just like the adults, with tweezers at the proboscis, you know, right at where the tick attaches, not squeezing the body of the tick, but where it attaches at the mouth site.
So we've heard the term DEET for the longest time. Does that particular product help in keeping ticks off of us humans?
Right, that's the mosquito repellent, and DEET is the agent that's active, and it helps. Now there is another agent that you can spray in your pants and your clothes, and you're hiking through the woods. You've got your pants stuck into your socks and everything like that, and that's the tick repellent. But and it's better than the DEET, but it's DEET works. I'm relatively okay with DEET on our children or on my skin in certain amounts. It's better than if you're going to go out there in the dusk when the sun is setting, and boy, you know the mosquitoes are out there, and mosquitoes spread illnesses as well. In fact, West Nile is a terrible illness that mosquitoes can spread. You don't want to go without mosquito repellent. But what I spray a little bit on my neck and my face and my bare arms and bare legs if I've got them, a little bit. But mostly I just soak my socks, I soak my shoes, I soak my hat, I soak my shirt, and apparel take the hit of the DEET. I don't want to necessarily put it on my skin as much as I used to.
We're talking with the Prairie Doc, Dr. Richard Holm, about ticks today. Now, we've talked about the American dog tick or the wood tick. The 16 other species that are in our state, are they similar to the wood tick?
You know, they're Rocky Mountain. The Black Hills carries with it a variety of ticks, wood ticks that carry different kinds of illnesses. And it is primarily those of fever and ache all over. Rocky Mountain spotted fever-like illness, although not nearly as dangerous. Those are the ticks, though, that are in South Dakota, usually don't carry Lyme disease. There have been the Lyme disease, Ixodes damini tick found in South Dakota, but it's pretty rare, and it's in the very east end. And for the most part, we just have not seen a lot of Lyme disease. Now, I have had two cases of Lyme disease that I was diagnosed in my lifetime in Brookings. But for the most part, we don't have Lyme disease here. It's in Minnesota. It's really in Wisconsin. And it's certainly in, you know, parts of the, all along the east coast and going south, the southern areas of the U.S.
On Call with the Prairie Doc airs tonight on SDPB-TV at 7 Central, 6 Mountain. Dr. Richard Holm, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you very much, Chris.